And we'll call forward our pastor, Pastor Shannon, and I'll pray for her. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our pastor, Lord. And I just thank you for the love that she has for you, Lord Jesus, and for your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that as she speaks today, that your Holy Spirit will touch each of our hearts, and that we will have revelation from you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, praise God. You know, there's a song this morning that we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul." Jesus said, you know, in this world you're going to have trouble. And it's kind of been a troubling week for us in this world. And many of you may not know who Charlie Kirk is, but he was a godly young man who went to universities to debate righteousness and share his faith. Some will say it wasn't a political assassination, but he wasn't a politician. He supported politicians, but he wasn't one. He was just a godly young man who wanted to see the truth reach young people. And I'm going to say he was martyred for the cause of Christ. And I grieve for a young widow with two little children who boldly and bravely stood to speak to the world. But one of the things that broke my heart was when she went home after bringing her husband's body home. When her little daughter ran up to her and said, "Hi, Mommy, where's Daddy?" And she said, "How do you explain to a three-year-old?" I cry not only because we have lost a godly brother, but because the world doesn't know what it's doing. They don't know Christ. But I thank the Lord that he said he will turn evil to good. And we see it rising up, and it's waking up. I'm going to say, believers, to stand up. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their word of their testimony, not being afraid of death. And so, though I don't want to be a fearmonger, we've entered a new time. Again, we've moved into another time where Jesus said, "You're going to see these things coming." We know we're that much closer to him returning. Amen. Where are we as believers today? And I'm going to say that it was wonderful for that song this morning to remind me. It's well with my soul. No matter what's happening, it's well with our soul. We have a wonderful Savior who said, you know what? You're going to walk through stuff. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But the question I want to ask, or not even challenge you or think that you're not able to, do you feel ready? And I, you know, because sometimes it's just like when this kind of things happen and they just kind of kicks the pins out from under you, I had to sit and say, "Lord, am I really ready for what's coming, or is already here?" So let's move on into this, because this morning we're carrying on with talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's been a couple of weeks, and I want to thank Ted for filling in. Loved his message. Good news, bad news. Good news is who we are. Bad news is what we see within ourselves. You know, I love that. But what Jesus has done for us. We stand in good news. We walk in good news. We have good news. And we have to remind ourselves, and I'm going to keep picking on that song, "It is well with my soul," because of what Jesus has done. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He promised. He said, "My Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. It's better for me to go away." Yeah. that you can receive the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. He was a promise to us, and he was faithful. Now, we took a look at who is the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we think we know who the Holy Spirit is. Anyhow, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself here. Let's get a title up here. Today, we're looking at the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the empowered Christian life. See, there's a difference between just knowing about the Holy Spirit, and there's a difference about in having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because we can talk about the Holy Spirit, we can believe in the Holy Spirit, but if we don't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we don't walk in the empowered Christian life that we that we are called to, that we have before us. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, and the Holy Spirit is that. He's the one who empowers us. I should follow my notes, but maybe not. I don't know. We looked at the Holy Spirit, and here's one of the things we want to know. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This, he is part of the Trinity. He's part of Godhead. He is God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, blah, blah, blah. Get it out my mouth. He's holy, he's divine, and he is the third person in the Godhead. Now, the one thing we know that it is so hard to explain, the Trinity, I want to just put this up here for a minute. Does anybody know what that is? A cube? How do you know it's a cube? The way it's drawn, okay? Could we call it a box? Right. What do you know about it? Looking at the drawing, what do you know about it? It's empty. It's got how many? It's got eight sides? Six sides. Unless you count the inside and outside, then it's got side. What are you looking at right now? A box, a cube, a drawing. Are you actually looking at a three-dimensional object? No, you're looking at a two-dimensional object. And you kind of have an understanding about it. But if you were living in two-dimensional world and somebody says, I've been in three-dimensional world, and this is a box, this is a cube, and it's got a back and a front and a side, and you go, wow. And you can look around it, and if you turned it on its, drawing on its side, what do you think you'd see? You'd see nothing, because it's a two-dimensional drawing. It's not the real thing. And my point being is we have an understanding of Holy Spirit and the Godhead and Trinity. I shouldn't say of the Trinity. I don't want to say Holy Spirit. We have an understanding of the Trinity in the sense that we have a drawing. And we can experience parts of it, but we don't have the complete picture yet of Trinity. Okay, how they operate together. So it basically, it says we see through a glass dimly. It's like a dirty window. Anybody tried to look through a really dirty window, don't come to my house and could use that. I have to get the outsides and it's just like, ah. Anyway, not that. But the point is, I'm just, as we talk about Holy Spirit, as we go through these things, please understand it is a flawed vessel that it's coming through. And I don't have everything, and I might not pronounce or share everything correctly, or you might misunderstand me, is what I'm trying to say. But let Holy Spirit bring truth to your heart in all of this, of who he is. So we want to remember that he is a part of the Godhead. He is God, and he's God with us, God within us. And so this morning, we want to talk about fellowship with the Holy... Oops, I'm ahead of myself by a few slides here, or a few notes. So fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the key to walking the empowered Christian life. It is fellowship with him. Not just knowing he's there. How many of you have ever been, and I think I use this kind of as a... been with somebody, and you're having a conversation with them, and their phone keeps beeping or buzzing or whatever, and they keep having to check the... do you feel? Do you feel like they're really engaging you? They want to be. They want to be. And maybe they even think they are. And maybe that's you doing this. Okay? Sometimes that's the way we treat Holy Spirit. We really do want to, but the things of this world and the things of life get us so focused on, I'll tell you what, I was having a real hard time with this message as I was putting it together and tightening it all up, because my thoughts were, my heart was broken for what had happened. My thoughts were out there, you know, all the emotions that come in, anger and revenge and rage and, oh, you know, looking for the, blah, blah, blah. You know what my problem was? Holy Spirit was standing right there, right here with me, and I was doing this. The comforter, the counselor, the one who brings wisdom and truth, the one who could speak to my heart and say, it's going to be okay. I wasn't fellowshipping with him. I knew he was there, but... And I ask us and I challenge us, how often are we doing that? Because the empowered Christian life requires the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When we walk as a friend of the Holy Spirit, I love what Jeanette Stone shared last week, we walk carrying that glory. And when we're aware of who is in us and who is with us, we influence the environment around us. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Sometimes we try and do all of this in our own strength. And again, he's right there, never going to leave us or forsake us. He's with us to the very end, is what Jesus says of the Holy Spirit. And yet, and I'm not saying you're always on that. I'm just saying life distracts us from who, you know. How many of you have some projects, some things you need to do this week? How many of you? Love that. I won't. But the thing is, how many of us invite the Holy Spirit into those projects? How many of us even sometimes take the morning to welcome Holy Spirit? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to get your coffee on before you can do that. And he's long-suffering. He understands. I wish I could say that my brain is engaged enough when I wake up in the morning and put my feet on the floor to every morning say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I'll confess, I'm not the greatest bounce out of bed morning person. Bless you guys who are. Bless you guys who are. You know what? I'll tell you what. I've lived my life saying, I'm a night person. I'm a night owl. Truth. I like that time of the day. But one of the things I started recognizing is I need to pray for change in my being. I need to start the day with Holy Spirit, not just end the day with Holy Spirit. And so it's like, Lord, I guess I need to not just justify, but change. Alas, I rabbit trail. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we forget that we're walking with the one who brings the empowerment to our Christian life. Jeanette was talking about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, and then went on to say, you know, some feet aren't so beautiful. Now, you know what? Whether you have lovely feet or you don't have lovely feet, it's not about that. It's about who is in us, Holy Spirit in us, to be witnesses, to empower us, not only for that, but for many things. But in this moment, I'm just speaking of the scripture that Jesus said, he will empower you. He will give you the boldness. When we see that happen, when Peter, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost goes out and he starts preaching boldly. He starts preaching boldly. I'm going to get off on another rabbit trail, so I'm just going to move on here. Okay. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship, say that word,
fellowship
of the Holy Spirit be with you. You know, what a treasure as we dig into this thing. There's fellowship. It's not like he's some, ooh, spooky thing over here, just kind of, ooh, I'm kind of, you're not a puppet. You have fellowship with a friend. How many of you have ever sat down and had a conversation with a friend? How many of you have a friend? A couple, yeah. And you sit down and you have a conversation and you're talking it out. Maybe you agree or you don't agree or you have a bit of a disagreement or they want to challenge you. They say, you know, I hear you say something. I just want to say this to you. Maybe this needs to change. Or maybe they say, you know what, you're doing a fabulous job. I just want to encourage you and bless you and let you know that I admire how you've stepped into something and done something or work. Rebecca showed us that this morning. Just encouraging a couple who was doing what is just in them to do because they have the Holy Spirit in them. They follow Jesus. They just love like Jesus loved. And so she spoke encouragement. And that's, again, that friendship thing. We build each other up. We want to encourage each other, challenge each other. But how many of us have ever heard good and wise things and then gone and done not so good, not so wise things? Kind of go my own way. Well, I'm not sure you don't understand what it's like in my life. Blah, blah. Do you know we do that to the Holy Spirit? We come and say our own things and do our own thing. And those who shake their heads and say, no, I don't. Yeah, the Bible tells us that everybody falls short at times. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of repentance, where we get to change our mind and change our direction. And wow, it's not you make a boo-boo and that's it, you're done. And I don't want to minimize it and call it a boo-boo because sometimes it's just out and out and out what it is. Sin. Yeah. Missed the mark completely. But here's what we hear here. The Holy Spirit desires fellowship with us. We want to know the fellowship. Paul is telling the Corinthians here, not only do I want you to know about the grace of Jesus, not only do I want you to be lavished in the love of God and know this love, but I want you to also experience fellowship with Holy Spirit. And again, what is this fellowship? The word fellowship means communion, to commune together, friendship. He is a person who wants to connect with you. Remember, he's not a force. He's not just an idea or an it. He's the person of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to walk with you. He doesn't want to just be a guest in your life. He wants to be a part of your life, family. Not someone who comes and goes and or is made aware of or not, you know, or ignored. He wants to be there. He knows you. He loves you, and he knows you better than you know yourself.
That's right.
Oh, that's so good. And because he knows you better than you know yourself, he prays and intercedes for you for exactly what you need, which may not be exactly what I think I need. But mostly he desires fellowship with us, fellowship with you. So let's look at where Holy Spirit had personal relationships When you look at what he was with the apostles here. Oops, let me read that for you before I move on. I didn't put the scripture in. I was trying to save space. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And there's more to that. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. How did they know it seemed good to the Holy Spirit? Because they were in fellowship with him. They communicated with him. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. Had this conversation. He also wants relationship with the unbeliever. And he, when he comes, that Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. We look at that word convict and we go, ugh. But wouldn't you like somebody to come along and say to you, hey, this is what's messing up your life. These choices that you're making are sending you in a path that is destructive. And there'll be those who will stop and recognize I'm on a destructive path, and yes, I can see where he's leading us. And of course, he wants relationship with the believer. 1 Corinthians, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, we're talking about Holy Spirit and his gifts, and we come with this power as believers with the giftings of the Holy Spirit in us to help the church and not help outside the church. But a lot of our gifts are for within the church. Are we manifesting Holy Spirit? And we'll talk about how does that happen in a, maybe not this week, we might have to look at it next week, just time-wise. Ephesians 4, verses 3 and 4. Be diligent. Sorry, I was distracted. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. Wow, there's a word for us. Diligent to preserve peace. And it's in the unity of the Spirit. We have one Holy Spirit. What's Holy Spirit saying to all of us? He's not going to say something different to you and something different to you and something different to you. That's not unity. He talks unity. Unity, and be diligent in preserving unity. You know, one of the things, I haven't finished reading it, but a book I started a long time ago was by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God, talking about the Holy Spirit. And though we definitely desire here at Community Church to be in fellowship with the Spirit, we don't think of him as a it or a force or whatever. He's the person of the Holy Spirit who comes. There's a lot of the church today that has put Holy Spirit aside, forgotten. Don't call on him. Don't look to him. I've kind of justified him away. And if we don't understand who he is, that he's here right now on earth, that the person of the Holy Spirit is here for us, well, we'll become a people who reject him. But we don't. We want to carry. Well, we do carry Holy Spirit. We do carry. We don't. It's not that we want to. We do carry, and we need to recognize him and embrace him. So one of the keys, sorry, let me move forward here. We're going to look at four keys, and I think we'll get through two today. Of how can I become a good friend to him being the Holy Spirit? Now, I appreciate there are those that already are, but let's face it, not everybody understands or knows or may never have been taught. So let's look at that. Understanding who he is the first key. Again, he's misunderstood. Do you think of the Holy Spirit as a friend? Do you know who he is? And again, if you don't know who he is, again, it's not an exhaustive message. Go back to the message I preached. Who is the Holy Spirit? You can see that online. In Luke 11:11 says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a steak instead? Anybody ever done that? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If then you, though you are evil, sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? A good gift, a better gift, the best gift. And unfortunately, somewhere, some places in the world or some ways, experiences that we've had, we come to kind of get freaked out by the Holy Spirit. It's not a good gift. Oh my goodness. That's too weird. It can't be Holy Spirit. First Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, if you're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand him and you don't know him, you're going to call the things he does and asks us to do weird, suspicious. Now, I want to say this, that you can have Holy Spirit but be ignoring him and live as those who are unspiritual, not accepting the Holy Spirit, not accepting what comes from him. You know, we can live in our natural thinking, which is so much like the world, because you know what? We live here. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the way he operates it, we start comparing it to what the world knows about him and what the world does in that, and we don't understand because it's a spiritual thing. It's of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And the enemy definitely wants you suspicious of the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, if you have the Holy Spirit, do you have discernment? Yes. You sure do. So you can discern whether it's of the Holy Spirit or not if it's looking a little weird. And what if the Holy Spirit says, leave it alone? This is of me. And sometimes we need to recognize that. Well, I'm going to say this. How many of you ever seen, you know, we know the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we call it the Spirit is moving. And some people, they're, and that kind of thing. And we would say, well, that's not the Holy Spirit because it's too weird. And then there's other people who are just, Which one's right? Both. The best example I saw of this actually comes from the Teen Alpha program, where if there was a electric fence, who's familiar with an electric fence? You know, anybody ever touched one? So you touch it and one person's gonna go, whoa! That! Wowzer. And another person might touch it and go, phew. Two different responses to the same power that was going through. So let's not be too quick to judge and say, that's too weird because it's just not the way I might do it. But do discern when it is Holy Spirit and when it's not. Do ask if you have a trouble. You know, I think I've shared with you about the night here, just this past spring, where we were at prayer meeting, and we have a worship videos that we listen to and sing to before we enter into prayer. And while I'm back there, Holy Spirit is telling me something. He says, and I'm thinking, he's telling me go get a bottle of water, which I happen to know are either in the fridge or the cooler, so they're going to be cold. And then I want you to open it up and go around the table and pour a little bit on everybody's head. And I'm going, oh, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's just me. No. And I'm seeing it, and it just prompted again. Now, he had to prompt me three times before I finally said, okay. And my heart was this, Lord, if I'm just nuts and this is not from you, forgive me. And I went around and I poured water on everybody's head. I didn't pour a whole bottle on everybody. I took one bottle and went around. And it was cold and it was a bit refreshing, was it not? And it was like, oh, everybody. And then it's just like, Lord, what was that about? Number one thing, it was about my obedience to follow what the Holy Spirit said. And second, he says, this is the start of the refreshing. I bring times of refreshing. Hey, Holy Spirit says, I want you to go over there and spit in the dirt, make mud, and put it on some blind guy's eyes. What? Isn't that what he told Jesus to do? How weird is that? Don't you put your spit on my eyes. Don't you know what's in that spit? But it's about the obedience to Holy Spirit, because he directs us in things sometimes that just seem weird to us. Holy Spirit wants friendship with us. He wants to saturate us. He wants to baptize us in every area of our life with his presence, with his power. Do you know Holy Spirit wants to, when I say accompany you, he is accompanying you, but accompany you where in your awareness of him 24/7. Where we're learning to lean in and embrace him. We don't want to be making excuses for him. How many of you could say, well, I don't want to be embarrassed by him, because he told me to spit in the mud and put it on somebody's eyes. Don't make me a fool. That's the world that says that the things of the Holy Spirit are foolishness. We don't want to be pushing him aside or treating him like, I've heard it put this way, like he's a liability. Man, if I do that, people are going to think I'm weird. And I'm not going to be a good witness to the Holy Spirit if I do those things. Who are we afraid of? The opinion of man, the fear of man versus Holy Spirit. If I get too close to Holy Spirit, we become real good friends and he tells me to do something that isn't normal in the world, praise God. And maybe what the thing is, in order to draw closer to Holy Spirit, we have to ask him, help kill my fear of man. Help kill my fear of man, that I hear you. I want to embrace you for all you are. I want to trust you in everything you bring and say. I want to completely allow you to lead me wherever you ask me to go. Think about Jesus. Remember when he was baptized in water and he comes out and the Holy Spirit descends and the Lord speaks, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And while he was in the wilderness, we know about the temptation. He fasted 40 days and he's tempted out there. And he overcomes it. And then it says this. It says, coming out of it, he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit and started his ministry. There is power in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave him full reign in him, wasn't freaked out by him. So don't get weirded out by the chaos or the weirdness or crazy acts of people. Discern. Discern what is of God and what isn't. Ask Holy Spirit. Ask him. And he'll guide you and lead you. And for those of you who say, I don't hear Holy Spirit, my sheep hear my voice. I've sent Holy Spirit for you to hear. The thing is, we don't trust that we're hearing him, and that's going to be a point. Next point we're going to get at very quick is, so the first one there is, we need to understand him. That it isn't going to be like everybody in the world. We're going to understand him. But you know what? Talked about Holy Spirit. He says he's classy, he's elegant, he's regal, and he's heavenly. He's not always going to send you on super bizarre. That's, you know. But you will follow. And he, yeah, anyhow. Holy Spirit can speak to you. Next one is reverence. Reverence for the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to take us to the scripture. We read this last time. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the redemption, or for the day of redemption. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is never going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to come, oh, I've had enough of you, and walk away. It's not going to happen. But having reverence for him means we listen to what he's telling us. Being a friend of him means, I'm going to say, go take one further and just listen. We obey. We understand who he is. This is God. He's God. But he comes to us as a friend. He wants fellowship with us. And this word reverence means a profound internal attitude of deep respect, awe, and honor for God, reflecting his holiness and his supreme authority. Wow. Deep respect and awe for Holy Spirit, reflecting his holiness. What does that look like? What does it look like to respect and have reverence for the Holy Spirit in the way we worship? Now, I want to start by saying your whole life is worship. Your whole life is worship to the Lord. But even Sunday morning, as we gather together and we come up on stage and our worship, we call them the worship team. Now, that isn't the only part of the service that's worship, but we kind of understand that. They don't lead us in a sing song and a hold down and a whatever. It's not a concert. They're leading us in worship. They're coming, and they've come before us and have come and are taking us up higher, helping us focus our thoughts and our attitude on the one we love. And we come with deep awe and respect and reverence, and when we worship like that, when we embrace Holy Spirit like that, what do we start seeing? The manifestation of Holy Spirit. He's here, but when we embrace him, the manifestation, we start recognizing he's right here. We start seeing him. We start experiencing him. Here's another way. No, I can't remember. I think I have these down as how you choose to live your life day to day. Making righteous choices, whether others see them or not. Remembering they're always seen by God. What does your day-to-day look like? When you shut the door and nobody's looking. When you're in the car by yourself and nobody's there and somebody says something or cuts you or whatever. The choices that we make in the day-to-day. And when we don't make the right choice, praise God, we have a God who is merciful and forgiving, and we can come to him. again with that wonderful gift of repentance. Thank you, Lord. I forgive me for what I've been doing, and I thank you for your forgiveness. And he says, if you ask for it, is he going to give you forgiveness?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do we live? Are we living in a way that we say, yeah, my opinion and my ideas are better than yours, Holy Spirit, because you're not living here. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what the government's got. We can blame lots of people, right? Including Holy Spirit as not understanding, the one who knows you better. I can't do that, Holy Spirit. Yet we can if we will embrace him and recognize him in all areas of our life. Inviting him in, acknowledging him. Here's another one. How thankful and grateful. How many did anything thankful with thankfulness today? Anybody do anything with thankfulness today? The Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful, Holy Spirit, you're in my life. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed. And again, acknowledging. You know, even the world knows about that. You've got an attitude of gratitude, man, it's going to change your life. How about just how we treat others? Are we treating them with love, with kindness, with respect? It says, love your neighbor, but love your neighbor. Love you and love your neighbor. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us and empowers us to walk in love towards everyone. Remember the Holy Spirit and remember him with reverence. He has feelings. And when he blesses us and encourages us and redirects us and we ignore him. How many have kids? How many of you taught your children something and they, well, about half an hour later, totally ignored it and went off and made unrighteous, ungodly choices? What happened to your heart? It grieves. It was broken because they disobeyed me. Is that what it was? Or it was they put themselves in harm's way. And I hurt because I don't want harmful things to come. When the Holy Spirit challenges us and redirects us, it's not trying to keep us from something good. He's trying to keep us from being hurt and harmed. I'm talking to our young people here this morning too. Mom and dad don't give you rules and directions because they want to kill all your fun. Now let me tell you, every person here has been a child where they thought their mom and dad's trying to kill all the fun. Including your mom and dad. No, they've got a heart that says, I want to protect you. I don't want harm to come to you. I love you so dearly. I'm not trying to steal your fun. I want you to have joy. But I want you whole and safe. I want you to make righteous choices that are going to bring good things to your life. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Next is trust. We're going to look at that next week. I kind of thought this was going to be a little longer. Why don't you stand with me? Remember, we're invited to have fellowship with Holy Spirit, and he's right there waiting for you. Right there waiting for you to receive you. Embrace him. Keep embracing him. I'm just going to give you a little, I was going to use my Fitbit, but I'm not going to go there because it's not working. But some we have watches and we have phones and that. This is just a little practical tip. Set a timer that goes off however often you want it to go off. I'm just going to say, let's say every 2 hours. And when you hear it buzz or ring or whatever, you just go, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm taking a moment to invite you into this moment with me and go with me. And let's start creating a habit where eventually We're just aware of him always there with us. Always there with us. All right? Father, we come before you, and we thank you that you wanted to bless your kids with a great gift, the best gift in the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we want to acknowledge you and say, forgive us where we've been ignoring you. Forgive us where we have not acknowledged you. But we thank you that your presence is here and your desire. You're so deeply longing a desire to just be a part of every moment of our day. So we invite you into that. And again, help each of us. You know each of us, and we know you know what each of us needs. So we just trust you, Holy Spirit. We honor you and are in awe of who you are in our life. We thank you. You're the one who empowers us to walk in godliness and righteousness. We give you praise and honor in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. Amen.